How are the banks, given the experience of last month when two banks went bust and at least one other teetered for a time? I'm David Brancaccio. We're entering the season when companies report their winter into early spring results. Some names that you may have heard of start publishing those today: JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup. It's also the question whether the people running these banks think we're bound for a recession. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, David, investors are looking for some solid numbers today in terms of how much money has moved around since Silicon Valley Bank failed early last month. We know that in the initial days after that happened, hundreds of billions of dollars moved into large domestic banks because people felt they're safer. The numbers have since been fluctuating, so we'll see where we are and if the banking situation is further stabilizing.
Nova, you were telling me this morning about some new Bank of America numbers. What do you have?
Yeah, so Bank of America released a report saying that over the last 8 weeks, nearly $540 billion has moved out of bank accounts throughout the financial system and into what are considered safer investments that provide a steady return. For example, money market funds, government bonds. Now, the Fed's interest rate hikes have sent yields higher for those investments. People are getting a better return for their money. So banks are having to compete in that environment, and that may hurt their bottom lines. And all of this could also mean a credit crunch, right? Banks pulling back on lending, tightening standards. And that leads us to the question of a potential recession, especially since Fed Reserve economists now think with the banking sector problems, one is likely to happen this year. They described what's to come as a mild recession. And it will be interesting to see if banks are setting aside more cash in case of loan losses should the economy slow further, David.
Yeah, recession this year or next. The Kelley Blue Book people this week have new data on car sales, and it looks like buyers have gotten back some of their negotiating power after that long stretch where dealers could dismiss attempts to negotiate with take it or leave it. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more.
For the first time in nearly 2 years, the average new car buyer is paying less than the manufacturer set sticker price by about $171.
It's a reflection of inventory shortages, which have really eased over the last 6 to 9 months.
Garrett Nelson, an auto analyst with CFRA, says some automakers have finally been able to get their hands on more semiconductor chips and make more vehicles. New car prices are still much higher than pre-pandemic, at an average of just over $48,000. But Jessica Caldwell with the car site Edmunds says the buyer experience is shifting.
Consumers will be able to do a little bit more shopping and not necessarily just be dictated that this is the vehicle, this is the color, kind of a take it or leave it situation.
After 2 years of surging demand, Caldwell says dealerships are now hoping modest discounts will incentivize car sales. But with high prices and interest rates, she says some consumers will continue to wait it out. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
And we're getting the numbers on the toll of an explosion at a dairy farm in Texas this week. The sheriff's office estimates 18,000 cattle were killed in the town of Dimmitt between Amarillo and Lubbock. Investigators suspect a methane leak. Artificial intelligence can paint nightmarish pictures, it can compose fair to middling music, but what about giving advice on personal finances, savings, investing? Some ChatGPT-style systems carry warnings about taking the software's investment advice too seriously, but how good is the advice? Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes looked into this.
First, meet the AIs we're talking to today.
I am Bard,
created by Google.
And I am ChatGPT,
created by OpenAI. And they will both tell you,
I am not a financial advisor.
And I am not licensed to provide financial advice.
That said, it can be tempting to ask them questions about money. Now, meet our human.
I am Kaya Ladejobi. I am a certified financial planner.
Ladejobi's in Atlanta and has her own practice advising individuals and small business owners. One question she's often asked, should they pay off debt first before investing? We put that query to both ChatGPT and Bard, who had very similar answers.
In general, it's a good idea to pay off high-interest debt before investing.
Whether you should pay off debt before investing depends on a number of factors, including...
They went on longer, and Ladejobi said the answers were pretty good.
Maybe 85% of the way there. If, you know, this question were posed to me as an advisor, there are other things I would add.
Like by paying off debt, are they leaving free money on the table through something like an employer match to a retirement account? And do they have enough money for an emergency fund?
At least those two areas I would bring up as a human advisor, not AI, you know?
Trouble is, sometimes these chatbots sound like humans too.
They're very, very good at language.
Michael Littman is a computer science professor at Brown.
But they're actually not that good at other things.
And he warns AIs are
perfectly comfortable giving inappropriate responses. And so they could potentially give you advice that if you were to follow it, would guarantee that you're going to go bankrupt.
Both Google and OpenAI say their chatbots should not be relied on for financial advice. And professional financial advisor Kyle Adejobi said she's not worried about losing work to them anytime soon because she's able to advise clients individually in a way a chatbot can't.
They call it personal finance because it's personal.
That said, Lada Joby's thinking about how to use AI in her work. On our Zoom call, she actually had an AI join to record and take notes. She said it's a tool that can make her faster at her job, so she has more time to do the work that, so far, only humans can do. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And for an intro primer on economics and the way policymakers think about these numbers, consider signing up for our Marketplace Crash Course, Econ 101. It's free, and you can learn along with me at your own pace. Start anytime, marketplace.org/crashcourse. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.